This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Nick, good afternoon from London. Hope you're well.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
And the story today really is the weakness in both the dollar and gold. In fact, I think it was yesterday we saw the pound briefly hit its highest level against the dollar for almost 4 years. There are a number of factors behind this, partially down to a report that suggests that President Trump is going to bring forward the naming of the new head of the Federal Reserve. And it's thought that he or she might be more sympathetic to Trump's wish that interest rates should come down sooner and more than Powell is actually intimating at the moment. But there were other reasons for it, but that was certainly one of them, wasn't it?
Certainly is a reason. You know, if you think about if you replace Powell at some point, or I shouldn't say replace, but the new role be chosen to be someone who is a little bit more sympathetic to the Trump administration and their goals, et cetera, a more dovish candidate for the role might be considered. At the end of the day, this is meant to be a role that is a bipartisan agreement, that it have its own kind of seat at the table that can't be controlled necessarily by the administration per se, but its choice in leadership is done by the president. So that plays a big role in putting in someone who might be more favorable towards your own goals. I think what's interesting with the dollar index, as you mentioned, you know, you have the British pound moving higher, you have the euro moving higher, you have the Australian dollar, the most currencies here performing quite well against the US dollar. Maybe most impressively, the Swiss franc really doing quite strong against the US dollar here, and by the way, against many other currencies. But the dollar here, very, very weak. And what I think is interesting in all of this is that we have rising probabilities in the bond market, suggesting that rate cuts, possibly up to 3 rate cuts, could be taking place this year. With July still very much not expected to be a rate cut, but several members coming forth and suggesting that rate cuts are more and more appropriate as we look at an environment where inflation is mostly cooling overall. And we have a labor market that is showing some signs of cooling off a little bit. I think that you know, Waller, who has been pretty outspoken in terms of his dovishness, made the points that, you know, you probably shouldn't wait for, if you can afford to cut rates, if inflation's already at a decent level, we should probably not risk waiting for the labor market to break due to the problems that could cause. So I think there's a rising you know, number of people who do think rate cuts are appropriate overall this year. We'll see how that all plays. Dollar index hitting a multi-month low and has been probably the biggest loser that we've talked about a lot this year in terms of the currency world covering on this podcast. This year so far, we're looking at a dollar index that's down over 10%, 10.5% move lower. That's I was reading, and fact check me in the audience if you'd like, I could be wrong about this, but I believe it's the worst first half of the year for the dollar index in multiple decades. That is saying something big. Dollar index really losing a lot of ground against most major currencies amidst cooling economic data. But I do want to suggest something too to the audience, Johnny, that is important to make the distinction. You hear this thrown around a lot, and you hear it from, you know, pundits like myself that talk about market data. You hear this phrase of, you know, the U.S. economy is slowing. I do want to make the distinction that the U.S. economy is still quite robust and quite strong. It's just been cooling rather than you know, kind of continuing to chariot ahead like we've seen in recent years. There is a difference between cooling and actually entering into a recessionary period. I was looking at GDP growth expectations for the remainder of this year. They're still very positive for the U.S. economy. I think 3.5% GDP growth in quarter two is expected. You know, that's a decently strong number. You know, and actually relative to other peers, during that same quarter, I believe the UK is expecting 0.3%. So to put that in perspective, you know, the US economy is still expected to perform strongly. However, the expectation for rate cuts does severely kind of diminish the strength of the US dollar in tandem with the uncertainty surrounding trade dynamics in the United States.
And the data that we've seen, Nick, the problem with it is that it's very much affected by either the tariffs themselves, the actual threat of the tariffs. So, I mean, for instance, we saw the US economy shrink in the first 3 months of the year, and that was the first decline for, what, something like 3 years. And that's mainly because government spending fell, imports rose as firms raced to get products into the country before the tariffs went live. Now we've got this date, 9th of July, before Donald Trump's so-called retaliatory tariffs come into force next month, or will they? So with all this uncertainty in terms of how bad or not so bad the tariffs are going to be for inflation and so on, we won't know much about whether it's going to affect growth or indeed the cost of living until much later in the year.
Yeah, and good point on the pull forward when it comes to the imports concept with the GDP stat. We do have to be careful with that number that you're seeing. We did see the final GDP numbers come in contracting 0.5% for the first quarter, which is on headline value pretty scary. But then when you look into the calculation there, imports do play a large component of that. And as you've mentioned, with the uncertainties around tariffs, we've seen a huge amount of pull forward consumerism importing a ton of goods before those tariffs are solidified. The other thing that I wanted to address, as you just pointed out in the tail end of your sentence there, Johnny, is the concept of, you know, things have materially cooled off in terms of the fear factor that we saw in the last few months. In April, it looked like we were going to have this total do-over on trade dynamics with the United States across the entire world, and it was going to severely, you know, disrupt the way everything in the global financial markets worked. And I do want to clarify that that could still be on the table, but the market itself has looked at, you know, the developments in terms of US and China, taking a look at the developments of the UK, which already kind of has solidified their deal with the US, but looking at all these and saying, hey, look, deals are in the right direction. And Trump came out swinging initially, but we haven't seen, you know, that stick. And I've raised this point too, as well, is, you know, whether you like or dislike Trump, that's of course a personal belief, but people who dislike him will say the TACO acronym is valid here, the Trump always chickens out. And people who do like him will say that this was some sort of big negotiation plan all along. Doesn't really matter. I think the market is just settled with the idea that we're not likely to get those worst case scenario feared tariffs that people were really afraid about. The point, however, though, is we know how Trump can behave. He can, at a point, if he gets frustrated with the negotiations or something stalls, we could see volatility rise again. And that brings me to another point as to why I think gold is down here, right? So the VIX also tells a nice story here. We see volatility back down in the mid-teens at 16. The VIX is at 16.4 at the time of recording this. That is a severe contraction in expected forward movements in the market. And so I think that that is reflective of how the market's feeling. It's feeling a lot better than it was during all of the tariff uncertainty. And that would explain why we have, you know, the stock markets at all-time highs. But I do think that the reason gold and the dollar are lower, there's a contributing factor here to why both are lower. I think it's because we've had the geopolitical stuff kind of cool off as well. I think that does play a big role in why the dollar had a little bit of a bounce around that 98 level. And gold, of course, was still hovering around those all-time highs as you had the geopolitical concerns that have now mostly, again, and fingers crossed here with this ceasefire, let's hope that it sticks.
And we are living through very strange and dramatic times, though, Nick, aren't we? I mean, you mentioned it before. Everything was focused on the craziness of tariffs and how high they were going to be, then they weren't going to be, the on-off side of the tariffs. And then we had the geopolitical situation in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. That's now died down. One wonders whether maybe at one point we might actually get a sort of baseline normality. Maybe things will just about work out for Donald Trump in time for the midterm elections next year.
Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up with the midterm elections, because I wanted to just tail into this conversation. As crazy as this year feels, and we've done the podcast together for some time, Johnny, but we've had, you know, a multiple stretch of years that have felt very, very heavy in terms of the the burden of just what we've gone through. We've gone through a pandemic. We've gone through, you know, Russia invading Ukraine. We've now got the Middle East. We've got spikes in inflation. We've had all these crazy components. But one thing I wanted to mention, which is eerily, you know, accurate this time around, is that perhaps you're correct in thinking that maybe we have some normality ahead of us, because if you look at the four-year cycle in the United States with the presidential administration, this does not matter if it's in reference to a red president or a blue one. Historically speaking, the first half of the first year of a new president historically is one of the more volatile periods. And I would encourage listeners to search this up. I don't have the stats in front of me, but search this up for yourself and you can study this. It's very interesting, the seasonality of the S&P 500, for example, under a new administration in the first half. You do typically see these new changes cause the market to be a little uncertain, and the average performance of the stock market is not particularly attractive. However, to your point, Johnny, now that we've seen a lot of this behind us, the VIX is back down. The second year and leading up to the midterms, typically we see a little bit of posturing and some strength in the stock market. And then again, the other notable one is that in the final year of a presidency, there's typically this kind of rush for the finish line, and typically stock market performance is strong. I bring that up because I think it's so interesting how, you know, it feels so localized to what we've been going through here, and yet still falling into sort of the long-term seasonal trends that we see in markets. It's kind of a fascinating thing to see.
It is fascinating, and we shall see what pans out over the next few months and indeed few years, including a brand new chief of the Federal Reserve. Let's see if Donald Trump gets his wish and it is more of a dove. What about the week to come, Nick? What should we be looking out for?
Yeah, Johnny. So we'll see in terms of the will he get his dove or not. That will definitely be an interesting story to cover in 2026. I'm sure we'll do plenty of coverage on that. And even before then, as he kind of finalizes his decision ahead of time. Next week, we have a couple key things. We have some PMI data out of China on Sunday, which will be interesting, as well as Tuesday, we get Governor Bailey, as well as Japan's Governor Ueda, I believe I'm saying that correctly, and Powell speaking. So a lot of Fed officials. And if I said it wrong, I apologize to the audience. I'm not super familiar with how to say Japanese names.
Nick, thank you very much for joining us today. We shall speak to you very soon.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. We'll see you next week.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.